For centuries, in fact, some historians have suggested that as early as the first century, and certainly from about the 7th and 8th centuries, Christians have kept the Sunday before Easter as a memorial of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem with a procession of palms, as we did this morning. In fact, the tradition started in Jerusalem, but it pretty much spread throughout the Christian community by the 8th century. And today we start Holy Week in that same way. And it is a time to recall God's saving grace and what he has done for us through Jesus Christ. So this week, by God's grace, we will walk with our Lord and Savior through the agony of those last days and hours, through his trials and betrayals, and on to his cruel death. We will reflect on those who had supported him in his earthly ministry and now stood with him as he faced death. But as we do this during this week, we must bear in mind that the teachings and actions of Jesus, as he shared God's love with others, annoyed the political and religious leaders of his time. Nevertheless, Jesus remained persistent and he remained obedient in carrying out his Father's will. So today, as on every Palm Sunday, there'll be two predominant images. First of all, the palm that we wave. And thanks to the Altar Guild, the sanctuary is well decorated, including palms, and we're thankful for that ministry. So we're going to have the image of the palm, which we blessed this morning, and we marched around the sanctuary waving these branches in celebration of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, where he was hailed as Christ the King. Then there's a contrasting image of the cross as a reminder of Christ the servant and of his suffering and his death. So then there's a two-part focus to today, the entry into Jerusalem and his passion and death. But they're both very important because they're part of the continuous story of God's love for us and our redemption through Christ. And if we listen carefully to the reading from Isaiah, we would recognize that Isaiah was talking about the true servant who is totally obedient, even in suffering, which might lead to death. And this passage is considered to be the third of the so-called servant songs, which affirm that God stands near to sustain his servant who accepts the pain and humility in doing the will of God. But today, I'm going to be inviting you to share with me some thoughts on Paul's letter to the Philippians. And strangely enough, at a time like this, when we're moving into a solemn time of the church's year, when many of us are thinking about the crucifixion, Paul is challenging us to think about joy. Paul is challenging us to think about joy. And the reason that Paul is challenging us to think about joy is that it's very important to reflect on what our joy in Christ is all about. And Paul's letter to the Philippians was written from a prison cell. So imagine Paul's circumstances when he wrote this letter. But he wrote this letter to the Philippian Christians because they had remained faithful and they had supported him through his trials and imprisonment. So he wanted to thank them for the gift that they had sent to him and also to encourage them in their faith. And I believe that Paul's message to the Philippian Christians is certainly relevant to us today. So then joy comes from working together. And Paul's letter reminds the people of Philippi to find joy in suffering, to find joy in serving, to find joy in believing, and to find joy in giving. In suffering, in serving, in believing, and in giving. Looking at the life of Christ as the example to follow. And one way of defining joy comes from looking at the word itself. So I've thrown up a graphic there, and look at the word joy. And I'm suggesting today that we should reflect on a definition which many of us heard in Sunday school when we attended. And if we looked at the top, you would see the word, the letter J. Then we see the letter O. And then we see the letter Y. And one way of defining joy, J for Jesus, Jesus first, Y for yourself, yourself last, and others in between. And there's a tune to that, but I won't put you through that misery this morning, especially as I think that many of us know it already. So, and this is not a sing-song, it's a reflection on the scripture. So Jesus first, others next, and yourself last. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. So we find joy through Jesus by serving others. And this excerpt from Philippians chapter 2 is about the humility of Christ. And it is important to note that Paul addresses the character of Christ. Who is this Christ? And also what his work is all about. And he suggests that the disposition of church members like us ought to be like Christ. So in verse 5 of the reading done by Hazel this morning, thanks Hazel, it says, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ." Let the same mind be in you as it was in Christ. So we are encouraged to have a Christ-like attitude. And this is how verse 5 goes in another version of the Bible. And I like this because it's right to the point. It goes something like this. Your attitude should be the same as Christ. Our attitude should be the same as Christ. Yes, attitude is everything. A few years ago, I had the privilege of being introduced to a stewardship committee. And a number of years ago, I was at another parish. And when I attended the first meeting of the stewardship committee, the chair of the stewardship committee, who was a very faithful parishioner and also a very successful business person, he owned a number of car dealerships. He said to me, "Young man," those days I was a young man, "I'm going to bring you a gift." I was very curious. And the next meeting, he brought me a brown envelope. And in this brown envelope was a book, which he said to me, "Read it occasionally, but never ever lend it to anyone. Otherwise, you might not see it again." And so I've remained faithful to that. You'd notice that it still looks pretty new, but I read it all the time. And it's about attitude. It's about attitude. And I'm thankful for this because one of the things that he said to me is that our attitude is priceless. And in order to demonstrate that, he actually placed a $10 bill in the book for me. And I'm supposed to use this talent and grow this talent. but I haven't seen him recently, so I haven't told him how the talent has grown. I say this respectfully because Paul's letter to the Philippians is suggesting that no matter what our circumstances might be, we can find joy through the love of Christ. Yes, our attitude should be Christ-like. And in the scripture reading itself, there are a few examples that I would just like to highlight as we continue our reflection. Verse 6 tells us, who, and referring to Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. Now, that verse could be summarized this way. Jesus is God, and yet he remained humble. And that's really the summary of verse 6. Jesus is God, and yet he remained humble. And from verse 7 it says, Christ emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. So he made nothing of himself. And this talks about an important doctrine of the church, which we will not explore today, but it's called kenosis, which talks about the emptying of Christ during his incarnation. It's a significant doctrine of the church, and there's a lot written about it, and certainly we can explore that at another time. But this does not mean that Christ gave up any of his divine characteristics or powers, but rather he took on the limitations of humanity. So he took on the limitations of humanity without giving up any of his divine powers. Jesus was humble and willing to give up his rights in order to obey God and serve people, to remove barriers between humanity and divinity. And like Christ, we must serve out of love for God and for others. We must learn to give up privilege and status. We must learn to remove barriers between ourselves and others. And from verse 9, therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name. And through self-denial and obedience, Christ was given the ultimate power and authority as God honored him. For he is God. And we too are called upon to face difficulties and make sacrifices when we follow Jesus. So in summary, three characteristics which might be useful for us to emulate. First of all, humility. Secondly, removing barriers between ourselves and the people whom we serve. And thirdly, understanding that the Christian life could sometimes be a life of sacrifice, whether we give up time, whether we provide financial support, or whatever that self-denial might be. So then we are called to a Christ-centered life through unity and through our humility. Because Christ is one with the Father and was obedient unto death, so we are called to do likewise. And so my sisters and brothers, I pose this question today. Are we up to the challenge? Are we up to the challenge this Holy Week? I share with you a short excerpt from a reflection from the Center for Stewardship Leaders, and it was done on March 22nd by Catherine Malotsky. And I quote very quickly, and she was talking about Holy Week. In Holy Week, hear the surprising reversal. Jesus did not exploit his divinity. He did not consolidate his power to conquer, but he released it, and he emptied himself and took on the form of a slave. We will hear again what it cost him: shame, public humiliation, rejection from his own people, excruciating death, even death on a cross. He humbled himself in order to be born in human likeness, to be one of us. This is the God who walks with us on our journey. So then, God walks with us when the world walks on us. God walks with us when the world walks on us. So then, this week, as we think of Christ's journey to the cross and the burdens that are borne by others, and perhaps what we ourselves are going through, let us encourage each other, for we will be following the example of the one who suffered, the one who served others, the one who remained faithful and was obedient even unto death. And so may we, like Jesus, choose humility rather than power. And may we be given the grace to accept the hope, the joy, and the love of Christ in our lives. So my sisters and my brothers in Christ, these thoughts I share with you in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.